Who wants to play a game?
It's time for hide and seek.
Run, run, run. Time to run and hide. Run, run, run. And now I'm going to find you. Scurry off into the darkness. Hurry, I'm behind you. Don't you speak. Hide and seek.
Tiptoe to the cellar or crawl under your bed. Anywhere you
from the stand, heart of despair here on the planet Earth. It's Podzilla After Dark here on the Podzilla 1985 podcast. What's up, guys? Shannon Young back here with you once again. Another lovely Thursday night in the city of Cape Girardeau, where it's finally starting to get cool.
Feels so good outside.
Don't jinx us.
Not cool enough, because you know it's going to go right back up to 90 at some point.
It's supposed to be for the weekend, it's supposed to get up to the mid-80s. But then it's going to drop right back down even colder at the after the weekend's over.
That's good. I'm going to freeze to death. Cold is better.
You're not going to freeze to death. I'm right here. I'm so warm all the time.
I just want to go on record as saying you both disgust me.
Love you.
I feel like this is what Dalton had to suffer through when Allie and I started dating on the show. he hated it. He hated it. Not saying that you two are dating, because I would never throw anybody under the bus publicly like Jesse does. But, you know. Hey, speaking of which, we got us with us tonight, Jesse Gimble.
I still don't agree with these things that you say about bus throwing and whatnot.
Jesse, I remember once upon a time on a show, you literally said something like, oh yeah, but you're fucking Allie now, or something like that. It was extremely vulgar, and I remember Lindsay was there, I'm pretty sure, and she gave me a look, and I gave you a look.
You had already made jokes about fucking, like...
Jesse, I make jokes about fucking everybody.
Yeah, I distinctly remember that you would make jokes about, like, I fucked both female cast members here at this table.
Jesse, I have fucked 70% of the cast at this point.
Oh.
Speaking of people that I've known, Lindsay Wolfgang.
Why did it go into the dumpster so fast?
And someone that I absolutely do not know biblically, Shelby Jackson.
Hello.
I want to clarify that for the crowd. But I have fucked most of the new cast members. So. Wait, no, not Sadie. I want to point that out. She was on Wednesday's show, which I didn't even know that Dalton messaged me and was like, hey, can you put together PW this week? And I said, yeah, sure, that's fine. Because, you know, I don't know if they talked about it much, but Asa's taking some personal time.
Yes.
And Dalton was like, yeah, it's going to be me, Sadie, and Derek Boxdorfer. And I'm glad I'm not drinking my iced coffee right now, because if I was, I would have spit it out all over the screen. Because Derek, Sadie, and Dalton sounds like if you had me, Jesse, and Hunter on a show, but then you went to the Upside Down.
That's so rude.
No, I kid. I didn't listen to it yet. But I'm sure Dalton did a fantastic job. He's been doing this for so many years. He better. Derek is always solid, and Sadie is a funny, entertaining girl, so I'm sure it went fine. You can check that out at Podzilla1985.com if you want to listen to last night's Pro Wrestling Unscripted. Other than that, though, we're here to talk about all kinds of things, because I paid attention to the group chat, so I know what we're talking about tonight.
And also, to their credit, to go back there real quick, those are three people that are actually still passionate about wrestling. As opposed to the way the cast has been going lately, where, I mean, when was the last time you were passionate about anything in WWE?
I'm pretty passionate about how stupid this Retribution angle is, and it was very sad to hear that Road Warrior Animal passed away. I did want to talk about that, because I didn't get to talk about it last night on PW, but Animal was on our show last year. He was incredibly nice, super cool guy, one of the all-time greatest tag team wrestlers of all time, one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. Dalton posted this on Facebook, and I agree with him. One of my absolute favorite wrestling moments was at last year's Super Show, or maybe it was the year before. I think it was the year before. It was the culmination of Dalton and I's big angle in CCW. And before the show, they're telling me, okay, we're going to have a special guest come out and scare you to get back into the ring. I'm like, okay, who is it? And I didn't really know who it was going to be. So... I'm sitting in the ring. I'm outside the ring. Dalton and his team of Marco Stunt and I think Stevie Richards won the six-man tag. And I'm outside. Jeff Odell tells me, get in there and fight Dalton, because the stipulation was I had to get in the ring with Dalton for 5 minutes if you won. And I didn't want to, so I try to leave. And he said he hired a special enforcer. And that "What a Rush" music hits. Crowd goes nuts. Animal comes out and stares me down. I'm staring at him. I'm freaking out. I asked before, because right before I went out, they told me he was going to do it. And I said, okay, well, what should I do? Should I, like, threaten him? And they laughed and said, I wouldn't. He is a nice guy, but at the same time, I don't know how well he's going to take to you threatening him. And I was like, but we did a podcast yesterday. And they just kind of stared at me. So, yeah, so he comes out. He scares me back in the ring. Dalton and I had our match. I forget how it ended. I think I won. Point is, Animal was incredible. I'm very, very sad to hear that Animal passed away. He joins Hawk, his tag team partner, in heaven, where I'm sure they're slamming dudes and shaping fates. So, rest in peace, Animal. That is very, very sad news. What else is there? Did literally anything else happen this week? I don't know. My head's been in a cloud for the past week or two.
So many people dead.
Dead? Who died?
I mean...
Are you saying over 200,000 people have died in America from the coronavirus?
I was saying that, yes.
Are you saying that Missouri's governor tested positive for the coronavirus?
I was saying that.
Hey, and are you saying that Donald Trump said that the coronavirus actually affects nobody?
Yeah, so with the governor, so that's actually going to be my motherfucker of the week is...
Okay, go for it.
Governor Parsons' wife. So she is the one that's infected. And then, of course, because of how COVID works, she infected her husband. Funny enough, her husband was actually in the day before the news came out that they were both infected. Her husband was in Cape Girardeau at the brand new courthouse. Or sorry, at Jackson, because it was at the... He was in Cape Girardeau County signing a bill that it seems good on paper, but I'm sure it's awful because why wouldn't it be?
Yeah.
But yeah, so the day after he is in the courthouse, we find out that he has tested positive for COVID and so does his wife. And then she posts a video saying, like, see, I have COVID. It's not that bad.
Yeah.
Fuck. Yeah, well. Wow. You fucking bitch.
Go ahead. Tell her how you feel.
I did.
Don't hold back. I have a quick motherfucker of the week.
All right, what you got?
It's me again.
You can't do it twice in a row.
Because I did not make enough ice for this coffee.
Again?
Yeah. Well, the coffee's good. It's just the ice is gone now. So it's kind of like bitter chocolate milk.
Ew.
I actually did have coffee before this show.
What kind of coffee do you drink?
I make my own coffee via Keurig in the same way that I make my own pizza via DiGiorno.
That's not coffee.
That's coffee. It's good coffee. How do you make your coffee? You stomp some beans?
I don't stomp it, but I have a grinder.
Well, the Keurig just grinds it for me. It just does all the... It takes all the guesswork out of things. And then I get a delicious cup of coffee.
Shelby was a barista for a while, so she can take you to school on coffee making.
I'm not going to say that. Where were you a barista at?
Starbucks.
That's not coffee.
It's the more coffee than what that fucking Keurig is doing for you.
Whoa! Whoa! Language. You can't cuss on this show.
Yes, she can.
Not at him, apparently.
You cannot cuss at Shannon. That's a rule.
You can't cuss at the host, no. Because I shape fates and I crush dudes, and that's all I'm going to say. So, Shelby, who's your motherfucker of the week, then? Everybody gets one this week.
Oh, we do?
Yeah, go for it.
I meant to tell you guys. Lindsay, start thinking.
Thanks. No. Now I'm just, like, sitting here.
You don't have to have a motherfucker of the week, but if you've got something...
I'll tell you what, and I mean this. And I mean this. The coffee in this cup, the way it is, kind of smells like a disposed diaper.
Ew!
Ew!
Why would you share that?
We got delicious coffee from Rhodes.
And you defended that coffee to me.
The coffee still tastes good, it just smells like shit. You know? Anyway, who's your motherfucker? I'm still waiting.
I think it's you defending Keurig.
I already said me. You can't say me. You can't say the same guy twice.
You can double up.
Yeah, I'm doing it. Apparently you did it twice in a row, so I can just double up on this one.
Lindsay, you want to make it a hat trick and say me too? No. Who do you got?
I don't have anyone. The only person that's pissed me off this week to that extent, as always, is the one that doesn't count because he's the motherfucker of the millennium.
That's fair. That's fair. So at Spirit Halloween, they have this wig that made me giggle. It's a Donald Trump wig that flips up. So, like, you put it on, and yeah, so it flips up like it's a toupee.
And then it has, like, a bald cap underneath.
Yeah.
Is it orange?
Well, it's blonde, but it's clearly Trump.
No, I meant the skin underneath. Is it orange?
Ew! You could get a bald cap and paint it that way. But no, it wouldn't be orange because his skin isn't orange. His skin is pale. His skin is the color of mayonnaise. And then they spray that chemical shit on there to make it look like he's tan.
True, because you got that makeup line. Yeah, exactly. No, you're right.
I thought that was his tan line.
No, it's his spray tan line.
There it is.
Well, we could always talk about the fact that Donald Trump once again said that he was owed a third term. And not only that, but when asked point blank by a reporter at a press conference recently if he would surrender control peacefully, transfer it to Joe Biden if Joe Biden won, Trump said, "We'll see. We have to look into it."
And that is what pissed me the fuck off today while I was at work.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I mean, that should scare everybody. And again, I don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat. I know I've been very critical of Republicans in the past. I will continue to be as long as you still support Donald Trump. But any president that, when asked, "Will you transfer power peacefully?" says, "We'll have to look into it," you should be concerned.
Yeah.
That is not a guy that is out concerned for America. He is only out for himself. And
that's not someone that's a Republican. That's someone that just wants to flat out be a goddamn dictator.
I was in Walmart the other day. Did I tell the story on Sunday?
You told me about it. I don't know if you told it on air.
I was in the store on like Monday or Tuesday, I forget. I had to go pick up my medicine and some dinner. And as I'm waiting in the line to get my pills, of course, there's a Trump supporter. And how do I know he's a Trump supporter? Because he's decked out head to toe in fucking Trump gear. He had the Trump hat, MAGA 2020. He had a t-shirt that said "Trump, God, Guns, and Trump." And of course, he didn't have a mask on. Why would he?
No, yeah.
I stared at this guy to the point he was uncomfortable. He was kind of older. He looks like he's probably in his 50s. And he kept looking at me, and I gave him the most hateful glare. And I didn't even try to hide it. To the point that he just walked away. And I was proud of myself. Because I'm not saying I'm about to fight this dude in Walmart. But like, the sheer amount of arrogance that Trump supporters have because of Donald Trump. They feel so entitled and they feel like they're so above everything because Donald Trump is the glorious true leader. And I will say it till the day I die, Donald Trump ain't shit. We can argue about a lot of things. I could argue with you about the Breonna Taylor thing and how I feel about certain aspects of it. I'm not going to, because to me right now, that is such a hot button issue. I don't want to touch it yet.
Exactly.
But I can tell you that Donald Trump is the worst thing to happen to fucking America since, I don't know, reality TV, Friends, COVID-19. I don't know. That came after Trump.
I'm kind of curious about your thoughts on Breonna Taylor. Because I feel like it's not particularly controversial in this group.
I think there are a couple things that I disagree on that a lot of people aren't going to like. But again, that is one of those things that I almost don't want to talk about. Because...
See, I kind of figured we were going to talk about that today because they did finally do something.
They did something. Do I think they did enough? Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Not even close.
There was no justice in that. But there is people that I have talked to about this case, that I have talked to, friends, that have said, you know, I've said, "Hey, here's the thing." And the response I always get from them is almost always entirely, "Fuck all police. Fuck all police. They're all terrible. We know somebody that even said maybe it's time we started killing police and stuff like that." And I just don't agree with that.
No,
I don't agree that every cop is a racist. I don't agree that every cop is malicious or evil. I truly believe that there are good cops. And and it's so hard to say that anymore because people are so anti-police, and I am not anti-police. Now, maybe that's because I am white and I have never been in trouble with the police, so I never had a reason to look down upon them. But I truly believe that a majority of police officers are probably people who genuinely want to help. Now, that with that said, there are definitely bad police officers. And the fact that there are bad police officers and that it is such a recurring thing, that there's clearly something wrong with the system and we need to fix it. We need to evolve and we need to do something better. It can't just be a thing of, well, there's a couple bad apples and, you know, it's fine. It's a couple bad apples. There's nothing to worry about. Most cops are good. That's not true. It's not just, well, a couple things happened and we should ignore it. I remember Rudy Giuliani was on TV and said, the real problem is that blacks kill blacks. Why are we not talking about that? Why is it you pick out these cases where cops kill blacks and you make a big deal out of that when
because
most
the cops
crime
always get off scot-free?
The cops don't always get off scot-free, well, first off. And in the majority of cases, they do.
And not just that. Like, the problem is that, like, the police are meant to protect these people.
Right.
Like, it's not... Yeah. Yeah, like, yeah, crime happens. Yes. That, yeah, thank you, Captain Obvious.
Right.
Police are meant to protect these people, not murder them.
That's like if I don't know, if I blamed my neighbors for not putting out fires in the city when it's the firefighters themselves that should be putting out. Just because a fire starts in your kitchen, it's not really, I don't know where I'm going with that. Point is, I don't think all cops are bad. I am, for the most part, I'm pro-police in the sense that it's good to have people that protect and serve. People that genuinely want to help, that they want to enforce the law, that they want to make sure innocent people don't get hurt. That's the kind of cop I like. I like
those
cops.
You get a lot of people that go through that program just so they can have the power, and those are the ones causing the problems.
Yeah. Well, you have a lot of people that go through that program that maybe they didn't go through the program well enough, because the moment, you know, there have been instances where, like, the guy stole one of their stun guns and he ran off and they shot him dead. Or a case recently where he walked to his truck where he apparently had a knife in the floorboard and they shot him 7 times in the back. It feels like a lot of these cops that you hear about, they very quickly escalate the situation.
Or did you see the one that happened last month?
Is it the one you posted?
Yeah.
No, I was a little distracted today, so
yeah,
I didn't get a chance
to read that. I was actually busy today.
So here's what happened was,
yeah,
this guy, it's a rookie police officer, gets called to a location because they think like a woman is passed out, possibly a homeless woman is passed out over in the park. It was just this woman out there with her dog, like chilling in some shade. That was it. So he goes out there to investigate, see what's going on. And he sees her, asks if she's all right. And then her dog, who is barely more than a pup, like, still puppy stage. Like, not quite a young puppy, but not quite an adult. Charges him.
Yeah.
He pulls out his handgun and fires 3 shots at the dog.
What?
Misses the dog entirely.
And hits her?
Yep.
Hits her right in the chest.
God damn. Why would you shoot at the dog?
That's part of their training. They are trained. Like, and that's where I was going to go with it. Like, I don't think that all police officers are bad people. Quite the opposite. I think that I'm with Shannon. Most of them are good people that want to do good. And there's just a whole lot of bad. But I do think that the system is fucked. How they're trained is fucked. How they're funded is fucked. What their responsibilities are fucked. Like, all of that is fucked. Like, I understand defund the police scares a lot of people and how it's phrased.
Because they don't understand what it actually means.
But I actually am in favor of defunding the police. Well, like, moving that money towards other departments that can take care of stuff. Because police have just kind of become a catch-all public servant.
Yeah, they're the everyman. They take care of whatever problem you have. Cat in a tree,
call
robbery, murder, call the police.
Yeah.
Defund the police, a lot of that goes into taking that money and putting it into other programs that will deter crime in general. Like, you know, after school programs, stuff like that. That if if people, especially when you talk about the poor community and the black community and stuff like that, when you talk about crime, a lot of the problems there with crime and with murder is the fact that a lot of black people don't have the resources. They don't have the opportunities that other people get.
And the system is meant to keep them down.
The system is keeping them down. That's 100% true. And anyone that says otherwise, I want to talk to them because I want to talk to them about it. I don't want to just jam it in their face. I want to have a conversation. But what did concern me, I saw Colin Kaepernick said abolish the police. Abolish the police so they stop shooting our people.
That's completely different.
And see, I don't agree with that.
And no. That's like, because I've seen a lot of arguments for that, and I'm not like completely against it, because the idea is not necessarily to just completely get rid of a police officer, more to create a bunch of like different institutions that take care of a bunch of different things. So you can still have, I don't know, whatever you want to call them, like at that point, but you can still have people that respond to murders. You have detectives and everything else. But then, like, you don't have that same group of people that are patrolling, putting parking tickets on cars, or a bunch of this other stuff that, you know, like we were talking about a minute ago, like they're kind of the everyman.
Yeah.
And you get them in a lot of situations like that. That's where you get a lot of these problems. Like, you have police officers that are dealing with really intense situations where there are shootouts and all this other stuff, and, you know, they're in like actual danger for their lives. Those same police officers are performing routine traffic stops.
Right.
So of course they're jumpy, and they're trained to be jumpy. Like, that's part of the police training. Is it's better to, I think, what was the phrase that I heard? Better
to shoot first.
Oh no, it's better to defend yourself in front of seven than be carried by seven. Mm-hmm. Something along those lines. Basically, the idea is it's better to defend yourself in front of, you know, a judge and jury than it is to be dead.
Carried out?
Yeah.
Well, so here's my problem with some of this is that you talk about cops being jumpy, and I agree, cops are jumpy, and they escalate too quickly. But to me, it's a situation where it's gone back and forth, where now, because the police are so unpopular, because there are so many people openly saying, kill the police, murder the police, destroy the police. You know, if you call it out, if I call it out when neo-Nazis say that white people are supreme, if I call it out when Trump supporters say stupid shit, I have to call this out too, because I know it's a popular opinion right now to be anti-police. I get that. But the whole kill the police, you heard the story about the police officers that were shot in, I think it was Vegas, I maybe get that wrong, and protesters swarmed the hospital chanting things like, I hope they die. That's ridiculous. You should not hope that a police officer dies. And now I truly believe that there is this fear that police officers have, where now it's almost like it's open season on cops.
Yeah, no, it's worse than ever before. And Shelby did find that line for me, just to clarify. It was better to be judged by 12 than carried by 6.
Yeah. Yeah, and I get it, I guess. I mean, I get the quote. I don't know. Yeah, it's a touchy situation. And just like,
that's bad training. Like, it's bad. It's horrible training.
Yeah, but imagine being a police officer. And I'm not a police officer, so I can't tell you exactly how they feel or think. But I take the thing that happened tonight, I believe Vegas, as an example. Two police officers sitting in their squad car doing nothing. Guy walks up to the car, shoots them both, just shoots them and runs. There are some people who applauded that person, who said that that's what cops deserve, that all cops are bad. And I think that is a dumb, stupid thing to say. And the more we let that go, and the more we say it's okay, the worse it's going to get. It's not a good thing. And again, I know that's why I didn't want to talk about it, because I think that's probably an unpopular opinion. People will say, oh, Shannon, I thought you were, you know, you were progressive and you're Black Lives Matter. I am Black Lives Matter.
You
can I am
be
progressive.
Black Lives Matter and still care pro-cop. About police officers.
I can still care about other human beings and their lives.
I'm pro everything. I'm pro police.
You are the diagram that shows all the shit that's happening, and you are in the center with all the circles, which I'm sure several of us feel that way.
Yeah,
I'm pro military. I'm pro. There are things that I disagree with in every facet of life, and yet I am still pro most of them. I'm not pro racism. I'm not pro sexism. I'm not pro pedophilia or anything like that. But when it comes to cops, military, Black Lives Matter, all that stuff, yeah, I'm a humanist. So I want the best for everybody. I think it's a mistake to say that all police are evil. I think it's a mistake to say we want cops to die. But again, then you come to the question I always get. Okay, well, then how do you fix it? And I'll give you the answer I always give. I don't fucking know. I'm not in charge.
The way you fix it is you have to get people to change their opinion of other people and quit being selfish little bitches.
You're very uppity tonight.
When aren't I?
You're very, very mouthy tonight. Like something puts you in a bad mood.
I mean, this current social climate puts me in a bad mood.
Smile and the world smiles with you. Cry.
I have a shirt very similar to that at work.
Cry and I'll give you something to cry about, you little bastard. Anyway. So, by the way, and I didn't even touch on the Breonna Taylor thing specifically. I just danced around the cops. So.
No, I like I said, I kind of agree, and I think it's a fringe group that believes that all police should die and that believes that it's good that those Las Vegas police officers should die.
Yeah.
And I understand that there are people that are angry and they feel that, like, you know, it is us versus them, especially, you know, Black people. It's understandable that they're feeling this way because it's kind of been that way for decades now. I mean, like, the police were originally created to hunt Black people or escaped slaves.
Yeah.
So, like, you can't even say decades. Like, it's since their inception, it's sort of been us versus, or, you know, us versus them for Black people versus police. And that's really shitty and it's really unfortunate. And,
well, go ahead.
But, like I said, at the same time, like, I don't think that anywhere near the majority believes that all cops should die. Because at the same time, like, cops are humans too. And I think most people understand that.
I'm glad you made that point because it's very similar to me of talking about protesters. And when you talk about protesters versus rioters, not all protesters are rioters. Not all people that go to protests are looking to cause anarchy and destroy things. They want to make their voice heard. They are systematically put down by people who oppress them and they want to be heard. Now, rioters are a different thing. They destroy, they loot, they exploit, they take advantage of other people's suffering. In the same way that most people who can be critical of the police are critical of the police in a respectful way and want to make change, they're not the ones that are saying kill all cops. Those are kind of monsters. Anyone that would actively wish for the death of someone else, especially generalized, is kind of a monster. And again, that might be an unpopular opinion because everyone wants Shannon to rant and rave about the things that they feel, but that's just how I think. So,
and I also want to say, like, from my perspective at least, I don't think that all rioters are necessarily people trying to take advantage of a situation or anything like that. I'm in the camp at this point. Like,
looters.
I whatever. Like, rioting, looting doesn't really matter. Like, it's... They're angry. No. And, like, they aren't, like, people aren't listening to peaceful anything, so instead they're going with anger.
No, and I can't back that up, because I remember a couple years ago, it might have been during the St. Louis shooting, when I saw pictures and video of looters, and one of the looters was a white dude that stole, like, Legos. Oh, I'm dead serious.
No, I mean, I'm not saying that. These people don't exist. Like, there are definitely people there that are taking advantage of a situation and they're awful. I just don't want, I don't like the generalization there.
No, I'm standing by it. I don't like looters because I don't understand why breaking in and stealing the TV does anything for the cause. I don't understand why stealing Legos does anything for the cause. You can break and destroy and burn down and make a statement, but the moment you take property for your own personal gain, you are doing nothing but stealing. That is not something I could ever back up. I'm sorry.
I mean, I don't.
Just my opinion.
I don't disagree. It's just like it. I guess some people think like their version of destroying is, you know, instead of destroying that TV, I'm gonna take it home and hang it up.
Yeah. They're really making a statement there. You're really defending people there.
No, I know. Like I can't really. I don't really have a good defense for looters. Like I. Like, rioters, though, like, I kind of, like, side, like, not entirely, because I don't want, like, I don't like people's businesses and stuff being burned down and everything else. Like, right. I don't like all this destruction, but at the same time, you know, shit hasn't been done. Yeah, like, I get their frustration. I can't truly understand it, but I understand that they're frustrated because, like, they aren't being heard. And, you know, anytime, like, anybody famous tries to protest, you know, they're told, like, athletes has been like the big picture. Because, you know, athletes are doing all this protest. They're doing all the, you know, making their voices heard, like, especially in the NFL and NBA right now. And I really, really like that stuff. And then you get a whole bunch of people that are like, you know, get that out of here. Just play ball. Like, you're play to play ball. So just play ball. Get this out of here. And it's one of those things where it's like, okay, you're only comfortable with protests if it doesn't inconvenience you in any way.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And, like, if it was one of those things where, say, like, they burned down a police precinct or they burned down a block where somebody was murdered, I get the frustration there. I get it. I also don't like it. I don't like people. I don't like seeing people's businesses being destroyed. But I get that it's frustration. It's the chickens coming home to roost. But I cannot and will not compare that to people breaking into a Target and stealing not even toilet paper, because at least you can use that. Legos or stereo or video games or something. Like, you're just a thief. No, yeah, you're not helping anything.
I've got no argument for that. Like, yeah, I pretty much agree. Like, I don't know.
You should.
Because I don't like the idea of looting either. I'm not a fan of looters or looting. I just can't say definitively that every looter is a trash person.
The only time I support looting is in Warcraft. Like, if you have a dictator like Donald Trump and he's starving his people and the people tear down the walls to his mansion and take for their people, I'm fine with that. But if you are some white guy out in the middle of a riot based on a black man being shot to death unjustly by the police, and you join in with these people who are hurt, and your goal is to steal a Lego set, you are a fucking piece of garbage.
No, yeah, that guy is absolutely a piece of garbage.
All right. That was the fun part. Let's get to the serious show.
All right.
Lindsay, what's the topic for tonight? Because I actually don't know, but I'll make it up on the spot.
You're going to be mad about it.
I'm mad about you. That was a show starring Paul Reiser.
Uh-huh. So we are going to talk about our top five favorite board and or card games from our childhoods.
I don't have any.
Surely you played something. You played cards? You were 60 back then, so you played some bridge, right? Shuffleboard.
Shuffleboard,
yeah. I don't think that counts as a board game, dear.
It literally says board in the name. It counts.
Oh, you know, I can't disagree with that.
Hey,
yeah.
Shut up.
It's a very literal board game.
I mean, you can blame the 90s nostalgia group that I follow on Facebook, because they just kept posting tons and tons of board games this past week. And I'm like, I remember that game. I remember that game. And it got me thinking of other games that I had that I don't have anymore. And yeah.
Okay. Well, if those people jumped off a cliff, would you jump off a cliff too?
No.
She might.
I just like board games.
All right. Well, this is going to be a fun one for me. What a great night. Let's start with...
Okay, Shannon, you can say video games.
I'll say what I want. Let's start with Jesse.
What? Jesse? Okay. I'm going to start with Don't Break the Ice.
Ooh, yes.
I remember that one.
It was a super fun little game. For those that are maybe too young to remember or don't know anything about it, so this game, you took these little plastic cubes and you kind of like wedged them in a grid pattern in the I don't know what you want to call it, the stand, I guess. And you took these little hammers and you had to beat out the cubes without knocking the little red guy and like without him falling through them all. It's kind of like Jenga, but all parallel.
Yes. And you got to be violent with it, but if you were too violent, you lost.
Yes. It was a super fun game. I loved it as a kid.
But I'm so good at being violent.
But you can't be too violent. You have to be just the right amount of violent.
I'll accept that one. Shelby, let's move on to you.
I had one that was kind of similar. Don't Spill the Beans.
I remember
that. That was the same group put those games out.
Hey, Shelby.
Yeah.
Are those the same beans you grind up in your fucking perfect coffee?
No, see, these beans that I have in my perfect coffee are delicious, Shannon, unlike your nasty, non-recyclable Keurig cups.
No, I just want to point out that I changed my mind. It doesn't smell like a dirty diaper. It smells like wet cat litter. Go on.
Such a great endorsement for Keurig. They're definitely going to hit us up with a sponsorship deal.
Actually, I'm endorsing cat litter.
Which they might brand?
Can do you it. Do that a little faster so that the cat can be covered?
I guess it should be me next, right?
That is the usual order.
All right. I'm going to start with one. It's called HeroQuest.
Do tell. What is HeroQuest?
Oh, I have no idea.
Or is that just a game that you wanted?
No, it's like a D&D style game where you pick a character, one of the like classes, and you go to different rooms and you fight monsters and you know, you do this and that. The point is that it's supposed to be like D&D where you, I think you had like a dungeon master and he would set the rooms up, and then when you went into it, things would change. The problem was I grew up very lonely because I was, as Jesse said, when I was 8 years old, I was already 60 years old, and I didn't have any friends that wanted to play this with me. And my parents didn't understand it, so I would play myself. I would just set the board up, put monsters in there, and I'd go in and fight them. So I never actually got to play the game as it was meant to be played, but I had fun. It was kind of like, it was like Diablo before Diablo existed, except I was the only one playing, and I had to make it all up as I went. So, yeah.
It extended your imagination.
Did you ever see that clip from The Simpsons where Milhouse is throwing the Frisbee to himself?
That was Little Shannon.
That was basically me, but with orcs.
With orcs.
Let's go to Lindsay.
I am going to start off with Trouble, and it's Pop-O-Matic Bubble.
I like Trouble.
I love Trouble. We ended up taking my copy even up to college, where unfortunately the most entertaining part of that was when Ariel started reading the instructions in Spanish for no reason. But I still like Trouble. It was just, I think she just liked saying El Pop-O-Matic Bubble.
That's
literally how it was written in the instructions, that it would have this whole slew of Spanish and then just El Pop-O-Matic Bubble.
If I remember correctly, that is the name of Hunter's high school salsa band.
El Pop-O-Matic Bubble.
El Pop-O-Matic Bubble.
Oh.
Oh, this is fun. Let's go back to the start of the whoever it is. Was it Jesse? It was probably Jesse.
This is the week that Shannon hates me more than ever.
Yes.
All right. Lindsay has actually reminded me of one that I didn't have on my list, but I loved as a kid. It was a game called Sorry.
Oh, I was so bad at that game. I have Pokemon Sorry, but I've never actually played it.
Oh, I love that game.
I just played like the old school version.
So the way this game works, you had four pieces, if I'm remembering this correctly, and you would, I don't remember if you rolled dice or picked up cards, now that I'm thinking about it. Sorry.
There was some way that you moved.
Yeah, you moved the pieces. I think that you rolled dice to do it.
Sure.
If you landed on, like you started in your little home base, if you landed on another person's piece, you sent it back to their starting spot. And that included, like, they had these, like, slide sections and stuff like that that you could land on and knock people back.
And what was the name of this game?
Sorry.
Sorry.
This feels very familiar. I've never played Sorry, but I'm almost positive this was the game that when I Nintendo put out that, like, 51 Clubhouse games or whatever, or maybe it was, like, 100,
it probably
whatever.
Has a version of it on there.
I'm pretty sure it did. I'm pretty sure Maria and I played it at Legion, and I can't remember what the name of it was, but it sounds extremely similar to that. And I prefer Monopoly.
Yeah, it was real fun. Like, basically, the first person to get their all four of their pieces to the end zone won the game. Super fun.
Yes. That is definitely it, because I remember that, because she kept getting jumped and having to go back, and I think the computer won, which the number one rule when you're playing a game is the computer never wins. Whenever we used to play wrestling games all the time, if the we do like three-way or four-way matches, if the computer won, we would trade the game in, because you can't let the machines win. Shelby!
Stratego.
I have never played Stratego.
You guys are a bunch of nerds with your nerd games.
I wasn't very good at it. I just liked all the little pieces. Thought it was fun.
Yeah, that's how I was with HeroQuest. Didn't really understand it, but I really liked all the pieces.
Yeah.
Is that all you got for Stratego?
Yeah, no, I'm not explaining it. You guys can go look it up.
It's a really complicated game, yeah. If I remember right.
I'm not explaining that. It'll take like 30 minutes to explain.
I feel like that defeats the purpose of this, but okay. I'm going to go with, because someone will steal it from me eventually, Monopoly. Monopoly was like the only board game I really played when I was a kid, and I absolutely loved it. I still love Monopoly.
Ain't nobody going to steal that game from you. Everybody hates Monopoly. Everybody thinks they like Monopoly.
We played that up at my grandma's all the time. Except we would do the fast version where you shuffle the properties and pass them out.
Yeah, I did not.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Okay, I'll go. I can't remember a single time where I think we ever finished a game of Monopoly. We played for an hour or two, and then we lost interest and love. But for that hour or two, it was really fun.
It's because nobody plays by the actual rules. Everybody's got their own house rules, and they want to keep the game going. And they say, like, all right, well, you can do this, this, and this, if I can do this, this, and that. And
people cheat.
Oh, yeah.
And it ends up being Monopoly to bartering.
I seem to remember a time that Lindsay and I played with, I think, Bob, maybe? And they were like passing each other properties because they couldn't beat me.
Yeah, we were trading.
Yeah, Kevin Schenkelberg was never allowed to be near the properties or the money whenever we played Monopoly back in the day. Or Garrett, because Garrett would steal it and give it to Kevin.
I could see Kevin being a cheating son of a bitch.
Oh yeah, him and Garrett were the worst. Like, me and Trevor had to team up in every board game we played with him and Garrett because those two fuckers would cheat. And it wasn't like, so Garrett would cheat to help Kevin win. Garrett was never interested in winning himself.
He just wanted to let Kevin win see you be pissed.
It didn't have anything to do with us being pissed. He just, in every game, his objective was to make Kevin win.
He was the wingman.
Exactly. He was an all-time great wingman.
All right, let's go to Lindsay.
My next one is probably my all-time favorite board game and probably the one I have played the most. No.
Candyland.
Clue.
Okay.
That was actually the top one on my list, but I was like, Lindsay's going to steal it from me. One of my
cousins taught me how to play it at tail end of elementary school. I think middle school, I picked my own copy up at a yard sale and was very disappointed that it was missing the rope, but we still played it without it. And then in tail end of high school, they put out an anniversary version in a tin that had a little actual sculpted pewter pieces. My mom ended up buying me that for my birthday, and that was the version that got played the most at my Upward Bound summer programs. Many a late night playing Clue with everybody, and then same in college. And it hasn't been touched in a while, unfortunately.
Oh,
that's because everything's digital now.
I know.
That's just, there's so many better board games now. I love Clue.
There's so many different ones.
Yeah, I wouldn't say there are better board games. There are more complicated board games.
Yes.
I know we're not talking about current board games we like, but I have Fallout and I have Ghostbusters, and they're both fun, but like Fallout especially is so intricate that I remember Allie and I bought it, Allie and I set it up, and then we played for like 2 hours. It took 2 hours to put it up, and then we played for like 2 hours, and I was just like, I kind of just want to play Fallout the video game. cool and all, but...
Sorry, there are some absurdly complicated ones out there right now. Like, I know... Oh, God. And the one that we play a lot that we really like is called Gloomhaven.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I've heard that one's good, though.
It's really, really fun. It's really, really cool. It takes a good, 20, 30 minutes to set up, and then it's pretty long to play through. And it's one of those games that's, you don't just, play it and then move on. Like, it's a carry-on game. Like, this game is meant to last you weeks, months,
That's kind of cool, though. Something you can set up and leave up.
Yeah.
And there's a PC version if you don't want to deal with all that.
There is, but they don't have the actual board game has this super interesting campaign where you do a bunch of stuff and you unlock extra classes and races and stuff, which is kind of neat. But and then the PC game version is neat. It just it's basically one and done's as opposed to an actual story campaign.
Yeah,
because you're it goes so deep into it that your party has reputation. Like, you can be, good guys and bad guys, depending on how you choose to do things. It's kind of nuts.
Did you get a sponsorship with Gloomhaven?
Yes.
All right, well, let's take it back to Jesse, unless Gloomhaven is yours, although you didn't play it as a kid.
Correct. So my next one, I'm going to go with Risk.
See, I didn't learn how to play Risk until late in the game, no pun intended. But that was definitely one of the games that you had to set up and leave up and come back to later.
Also, we always played it in one session. Like, it could be long. Like, it would usually take around, like, an hour to 2 hours to play. But we always had a lot of fun with it. That was another one of those games that was irritating to play with Kevin. Like, Trevor and I had to be on a team because Garrett and Kevin were on a team. And frequently, Garrett would throw every man he had at, like, somebody and basically leaving himself incredibly, like, vulnerable and weak so that Kevin could come in and clean up and just take everything. It's very frustrating.
That Shankleberg again.
But I loved Risk. Risk was so much fun. The only time I didn't particularly have fun, whenever I was a kid, I remember my there was one game in particular, like I kept winning. And so my entire family just decided to team up and I was knocked out in the first like 25 minutes of the game. Because they all just ganged up on me and tore me apart.
Well, sometimes you get what you deserve. Let's move on to Shelby.
Guess who?
Shelby, I already said it. Oh, that's the name of the game. Okay. Yep. Sorry. Tell us about it.
Basically, you picked a character off of your board, and the other person had the exact same board, but they couldn't see which character you picked, and they had to start like picking up features and being like, does your character wear this thing? Or look like this, and if you said no, they had to knock down all the characters that looked like that until they narrowed it down to who they thought your character was.
I played that game a lot with my Uncle Jules, but I did not like the way he played. Because, like, we'd be playing, and he'd be like, does he look like a bitch?
How do I know?
That was my joke for that one. All right. It was a Pulp Fiction joke. Well, I'm pretty much out of board games, so...
I mean, you can do card games.
Okay, what card game did I play a lot as a kid? Blackjack.
Oh, Blackjack is fun.
So yeah, I'll just go with Blackjack because I never liked poker. Poker has too many rules. There's too many variations of poker.
Just play Hold'em and be done with it. That's the only good poker.
We played Blackjack a lot. Blackjack was easy and it was simple. Me and my friend Jeff, who is in jail currently, by the way.
Checked.
He and I basically created a casino. I had this trailer that we lived in, and then we had a trailer in the backyard, and my dad put like chickens in it or something because he tried to be a farmer, and we basically confiscated the back end of the trailer and turned it into a local casino. We had blackjack, and it was really terrible. We were like 12, but we were trying to be entrepreneurs, so our families would come and gamble, and then they would lose on purpose to give us money. Now that I think about it, I've really led a troubled life, and I'd like to back out now, please. But Blackjack was fun. Lindsay, please save this.
Okay. My mom and I played Scattergories a ton. I had Scattergories Junior, and then when I got older, we had the regular Scattergories. You'd think I would have a better vocabulary after playing that, but I don't.
You have a good vocabulary. You just can't spell for shit.
Yes.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what that is, so.
It's basically you have a list of 10 themes or categories or whatever, and there's a die that has every letter of the alphabet on it. You roll it, whatever letter's on top. Each of those categories or themes, you have to list something that begins with that letter, and then any word that matches the other people that are playing, you have to cross out, and then you get points for every original word that you have.
Hmm.
And then you usually go like 10 rounds, and then whoever has the highest score wins.
It's a really fun game.
I didn't play that one, but like I said, I didn't play a lot of games growing up, so. Video games mostly. Let's go back to the beginning of the board and go back to Jesse Kimball. We got two more.
All right. My next one was going to be the one I was going to take out for Sorry, but since Lindsay got Clue, I'm going to go with The Game of Life.
Ooh.
It was a super.
I don't like that game.
I don't like The Game of Life now. No, that's not true. I'm cool with it now. I'm cool with it right now. But
I don't like the changes that they made to the board game. I like the old board game.
I loved the old board game.
Thank you so much.
There was something fun about it, like because you start out, you know, like kid going to college, or like you chose like to go to college or to start a family or something like that. Then you go through and you get a job and everything else, and you have a salary. To move, it didn't have dice or anything. It had this cool, like, spinny dial in the middle of the board.
I broke that thing so often.
I think everybody did.
Like, that, it would not stay on the dial. It'd just go flying off.
That does sound like fun. Getting a job and having a salary.
Right? It's the American dream.
Yeah, and then you end up either in a mansion or the poor farm.
Yep.
You never played the DACA edition.
Oh.
Lindsay got it at least. Okay.
I had to think for a second. But yeah, no, I remember that skit now.
No, Jesse, don't
thank
get
you.
It. Sorry.
I'm going to look it up and I'm going to send it to the group chat. Welcome to the cum zone.
Oh, God. You and your cum zone.
Please, language. All right. Shelby.
Uno.
No. 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 You can't take that one. So just don't. All right. Fine. You can have it. Tell us about Uno. Best card game of all time.
Yeah, if you wanted to make enemies with everyone you played with.
Oh, I do. Yeah. That's what I excel at.
It's basically just a card game where you try to get all the cards out of your hand and you'd be the first person with no cards, but each card kind of does something if it's not just a random colored or numbered card. So you can skip people or make them draw more or change the color of the card so they can't play anymore. It's fun.
Yeah, we played that.
And then you have exploding kittens.
Yeah, that's fun.
We played that a lot in college, especially. In fact, our table got to be known as like the Uno table because we would just sit there and play forever. And it got rowdy because we had house rules where you could stack the fours and twos on each other as long and just keep it going. So sometimes people would end up having to draw like 16 cards.
Jesus.
That was a good time. So I love Uno. I'm with you on that one all the way. I don't know of any more games that I played. I'm on the spot here.
Your old ass had to have played Hearts at some point, right?
Not really. We played Spades.
Oh, there you go. Spades. This is the same game.
I can't tell you how to play it because it's been so long, but I played a lot of Spades. Oh, I know. Dice. We used to play Dice.
What kind
no,
of Dice?
No, I got it. No, no, no. Yahtzee.
Yahtzee. Yahtzee. Oh, everybody, Yahtzee. Everybody loves Yahtzee.
Loved Yahtzee. I had my normal mom, Yahtzee. I had Disney Yahtzee.
My mom and I played Yahtzee all the time. She's the one that got me into it. She loved it. And I've tried to get other people into Yahtzee, and it's always fun. That's one of the reasons I bought that Nintendo game was so I could play Yahtzee online. And I haven't in a while, but it's really, really fun. Yahtzee has always been one of my absolute favorite games. If you don't know what Yahtzee is, you have a cup, you roll five die, and you try to get different, one, two, three, four, five, sixes, full house, three of a kind. It's a lot of fun. It's very simple, and it's one of my favorite games. Lindsay.
Trivia Pursuit. Another one of those ones that I've had many, many versions of over the years, and now we just do digital versions of it.
I scratched that one off my list before we even went going, because I wrote it down. I was like, I love Trivial Pursuit. Lindsay's going to have this one.
Yeah, I won't take it from her. I just like trivia games, whether I'm good at them or not. I still prefer my Disney trivia overall, but...
I usually win at Trivial Pursuit, though.
Lindsay and I...
You do, because you know so much random crap.
I do. I'm a sponge for everything that's not useful. Anything that I do need just goes right in one ear and out the other.
Pretty all much, right. Yeah.
Let's go back to Jesse at the top.
Okay. My last one is going to be the Pokemon trading card game.
Yay!
You know, when I was a kid, me and my little brother got really obsessed with this game really fast. We joined the local Pokemon League. We got our cards. We went in and played with folks. It was a whole lot of fun. Found out years later that we played with, you know, as kids, because I didn't know Kevin Schenkelberg until high school. And we talked about this with also Pat Kennedy in the GameStop days, and found out all of us had gone to the same Pokemon League as kids. And, you know, either different ages or, you know, different cities, didn't really, like, know each other outside of that, but I always thought that was kind of neat. It was a lot of fun.
I never actually played it when it first came out. Like, my brother and I tried to, but that initial, like, starter deck that they gave you didn't really give you full decks.
Yeah, it gave you one deck that we thought you could split into two.
But it was just one deck.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we did the exact same thing. And the fact that my brother was 7 years younger than me, and him and all of his friends were the ones that wanted to actually play it, because, mind you, when these came out, I was a high schooler. I kind of switched real fast to just collecting the cards, which, like, I still do, and it wasn't until they started putting up the digital version of the trading card game that I've gotten into playing it, and, like, I'll still hop on now and play it from time to time, but...
Oh, yeah, she obsessively plays it. She has so many cards. Like, those virtual decks are crazy.
Yeah, I wish I could trade in some of those virtual ones for the actual cards.
Didn't the Pokemon Company have a thing where if you got, like, every card in a set or something like that, they would send you a real version?
I don't know. I've never
heard of that.
Looked into anything along those lines.
Now, I thought it was something like if you had every card in the digital set, they would send you, like, one copy of every card in the actual set.
I mean, that would be freaking sweet if they did, but I'd highly doubt they're doing that.
I mean, I would too, but...
All right, let's go to Shelby.
My favorite game is a weird one. It's called Barnabas Collins.
Oh, I know Barnabas Collins.
Hey. I do not.
It's a...
What is this game?
I'm lying.
I was going to say, that's real weird. I'm kind of surprised anyone's heard of it. It's from back when my dad was a kid, so it's kind of been handy.
Wait, isn't that the name of the guy from Dark Shadows?
Yeah, it's... The vampire.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's based on that.
Oh, okay.
So the theme of the game is, like, you get this coffin that's full of all these different parts of a skeleton, like the skull, the rib cage, all the different bones in the arms and the legs, and there's a spinny dial that you have to spin, and whatever body part it lands on, you get that bone, and you have to build the skeleton, but if you land on the stake, like, it kills your guy. And you have to start.
Oh, that sounds so fun.
Yeah, I love it. We actually looked it up before we started doing this just to see if we could buy another set because I just have bits and pieces of it. It's like $180.
Probably Jesus. Because it has all the tiny little bits and pieces that get lost and sucked up in the vacuum and pet seat.
Yep. I was like, well, we're never replacing that.
My last one is one that no one's heard of. Guaranteed. Guaranteed.
Bring it on.
What is it?
The Krill Factory.
You right.
And the reason you've never heard of it is because I made it up.
I figured.
When I was a kid, me and my friend Josh, we were in some class and we heard about krills. And I don't even remember what krills are at this point. I think they're some little organism. I forget. But we just decided to make a game called The Krill Factory. And it was basically a conveyor belt system piece by piece, like you would move piece by piece, and each part of the conveyor belt had some new way to kill the krills that would go through it, and you had to get through the end to escape. And it sounds weird, but like, we all played that game every single day. We drew them out on our pieces of paper. We always invented new, like, factories to kill the creatures, and the goal was to escape with your life. And we had so much fun playing it, and it's one of my favorite memories from being a kid, was creating this stupid game that made no sense. And we all just had so much fun laughing at it. So, The Krill Factory.
But that's awesome.
Coming soon. Coming soon to Patreon. Okay, Lindsay, last one.
Okay, my last one is going to be the game that I played the most as a little kid. And mostly just because I loved the artwork on the board. Candyland. But it has to be the 1985 version of the board.
See, I said Candyland earlier. I knew it was coming.
Why?
I know.
Why the 1985? Knew it was going to be there eventually.
I just really like the artwork that's on it, and they have, I think the last, it was whatever update they did in the early 2000s, they completely changed the artwork, and it just doesn't have the same charm as the version that I had. And like, even the older versions aren't bad, but like, I just really am attached to the version of the game that I had as a kid. I actually sold it at one of our yard sales when I was younger, ironically to a girl that was upset that she sold her version at a yard sale. And now me down the line was all like, man, I really kind of wish I still had my board because they don't have the same artwork. Well, luckily, my boss goes to estate sales and auctions and stuff that way. And him and his girlfriend had bought a massive lot of board games. And it didn't have the box, but he had the board and all the pieces and cards. So I've got those. I just don't have the box for it.
Well, it's kind of cool still. And you could probably hang up the board somewhere if you listen to, like,
well,
the art
I saw a really cool design that you get a box frame that you put the board in, and then you just hang all the pieces on the back of it with baggies. So that way you just take it off the wall and set it down.
Oh, well, that's cool.
And still play it and have it for a display. I just haven't looked into finding a frame for it yet.
I got you.
Hmm. Well, that was a wonderful trip down memory lane to where I ran out of games that I played to the point that I had to talk about one I made up.
Hey, so. That's half the fun.
Yeah, boy, my creativity really went to the wayside somewhere around my high school years. other than writing and, of course, this podcast. But at this point, we're not really being creative anymore. We just kind of get on here and ramble.
I mean, in fairness, we have managed to come up with a new list every week for like the last... We've been doing lists for over a year now.
We've been doing Podzilla for over 5 years now.
It's true.
It's a zombie, but we're doing some of our favorite shows even to this day, so I guess it can't be all bad. But hey, you know what they say, that's showbiz. Anyway, I think that's gonna do it for us tonight. I gotta heat up some pizza rolls because I never did.
Pizza rolls,
or I might order pizza. I don't know. We'll see where the night takes me. I haven't said the F word enough tonight. Fuck! All right. So, for myself and Jesse and Shelby and Lindsay, we are going to get out of here. We'll be back tomorrow with Horse Time here on Podzilla 1985, also known as the Legendary Group Chat. The Legendary Group Chat of Happiness. Something like that.
Yes.
We got a fantastic cold open tomorrow. I really want everyone to tune in. I'm super excited about it. I'll tell you why later. Otherwise, you guys take care of yourself. You have a good night. Enjoy that weather. Be safe. Vote Biden. And God bless you. Love you and stuff. Good night. All right. See you.